Searching for NBA playoff coverage? We've got you. The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, gives you an inside look into the world of sports. Hosted by former NBA sharpshooter and Duke legend J.J. Redick and sports writer Tommy Alter, The Old Man and the Three offers unprecedented access to the league. Tommy and J.J. discuss the NBA and interview some of the biggest names in the league, like Devin Booker and Luka Doncic. NBA final season is the perfect time to dive in, and you can listen to The Old Man and the Three wherever you get your podcasts. To hear episodes brought to you by BMW. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
How long would it take for you to fill up the shots while you're on air?
That's Helen's job.
Oh, okay. Put the pressure on me.
Fuck, he's going, eh?
Hey.
He's going good.
All right, should we just start this off while you're pouring?
Let's just start. All right, cool. All right, you tell me, are we rolling already? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. This is episode number 78. I'm Dave Schmolenson, aka the Schmo. My co-host is
Helen Yee with Helen Yee Sports.
And she's busy pouring shots because we have the champion Alex Volkanovski in the building. And Dan the Hangman Hooker, the number six, the newly minted number six, UFC lightweight. How you doing, my man?
Number six? I thought it was number eight.
Nope, you're number six now.
Now tied with Tony Ferguson, they have you and him splitting at six.
Oh, check that out then. Learn something new every day.
That's what it's all about. Fresh off the great victory. Look at this Team City kickboxing. If everybody could see this, I don't think we have the
full cameras. I'm freestyle
MMA guy. Mate, Joe's not happy with that one.
Got Joe, we got Frank, we got Ash. But here's something that real quick, I want to start with Hangman because we'll get to you, Volk. I mean, you had the best fight of the year.
You're the champ, mate.
You're the champ.
Sit back and relax.
We're celebrating. But, you know, when you were fighting out in Abu Dhabi, when you fought Michael Chandler for his debut fight, you had like a training partner in your corner. You didn't have your whole team with you, which I don't think anybody really talked about.
It was my student.
So your student?
Yeah, so he walked in my gym like 2 years ago. And I just trained him. He's been just training in my gym for the last 2 years, and then no one else.
That was your corner, man.
Like, no one else was free.
No one else was free.
Yeah, but I had to go. It's 2 months, like a 2 month commitment. Like, all the boys have got, they all got families, they all got like kids and stuff, and they got jobs, and they need to support themselves. You know what I mean? So, I would say I didn't even really ask. Like, I just was like, I'm going. Like, I knew the situation. I knew it was just too big of an ask. And so, yeah, a lot of people, I just didn't even ask them. I was just like, nah, I'll just do it myself.
So that whole voucher system, isn't it? Like, it's a commitment, like you said. Who knows when you get that voucher back?
I knew exactly what it was, though. Like, it's risk versus reward. The winner of that fight got a title shot. So it's like, what are you going to do?
Well, I think considering everything you've just had to go through just to have this fight and where you're at today, I think you're right back into the thick of things. You put yourself right in a position where now you have someone like Islam Makhachev calling you out again because he lost the RDA fight. RDA had to pull out for injury.
He's back.
Yeah, he's back for me. Yeah, like, I just don't know how that would work on that date. You know, I got a week here. So what's that, October 30? So that's like 4.5 weeks away. I got a week here. Then I got 2 weeks in a hotel room, locked in a hotel room. Then I get out. Gyms are still shut. So you got like, you get caught training again, you got to get arrested, and then you fly out. So what's that like?
Bring the
families over. Maybe like half a week of training at home. And then I got no voucher. And then I can't get, then I'm locked out in New Zealand indefinitely. So it's like that's like a big commitment for what? Like, you just said number six, like number six to jump to number five. It's like, is that worth not training and moving country? It's like, it's got to be a risk versus reward thing.
I think that's totally logical on your side of things too.
Just like, if anyone's like got an argument against it, I'll be happy to hear it. Like, if anyone's like, nah, that's a great decision, I would love to hear their argument, but it's just a big call.
That don't make sense. But
that's just crazy to me what you had to go through, especially in for this camp, and like you mentioned, the cops, right? Like they were threatening you and whatnot. Like, what was that like training and preparing for this fight with all those distractions kind of going on and trying to find a way?
Yeah, like it was difficult getting treated. Yeah, like you're getting treated like a criminal, right? Like if you compare it to like Islam, like their government looks after them, private jets, pays for everything. Like they don't have a care in the world. Like my government's like actively working to not let me train for a fight. Like it's, yeah, you're like representing the country. You're like a small business owner. You're like, they've shut your business down. Like you're not getting paid to sit at home. You're just like sitting there. They're telling you to like just sit on your hands, not fight, not train, not come over here, not go to work. It's just, you're getting treated like a criminal for going out and wanting to earn a living for your family. It's just just doesn't make any much sense.
And you were actually following, like he was actually doing some his own precaution, like protocols. Like you went in there, done your own bubble. That's what you were bringing everyone to the gym. So they're under the same roof, same bubble.
We tried to do it properly. Like Eugene is committed to it. He wanted to do it the best way possible. So, you know, they give you like before midnight to, because you have to, whoever you're living with, you have to stay with those people. Like you can't be in contact with like anyone outside of, they call it like your household bubble. So they gave you like until midnight. So Eugene put the call out. Dan's got a fight. A couple of other guys got a fight. Get in before midnight, and we'll bubble up at the gym. Like, and we did. Like a bunch of us moved into the gym. We made equipment to leave our families and live at the gym for a bit. Which the police had come through in the previous lockdowns. Like they came in like 3 times, I think. Had a look around and were just like, yeah, all right. Like we see you guys are obviously living here. But they did it this time and just, yeah, shut it down. Came in and they were just like, nah, you guys got to shut it down.
It just blows my mind for the revenue that you guys bring to New Zealand. Obviously, I'm biased. I live in the United States. And having the opportunity to have that UFC come there, to have the title defense with Izzy, to have you guys there, just completely showcase the sport and the revenue and generation that you bring and the inspiration for the young kids. You guys should be looked at as just heroes in many sense, especially to the little children there. You're inspiring generations for what you guys do. It just seems like such a lack of understanding or care in the world.
They're like calling like Israel and me for coming out and saying what we're saying. Like, to it, they're just going, like the public reaction to it is there's people out there commenting, oh, they're just entitled sportsmen. Just entitled sportsmen. It's like, I'm a small business owner. I have a gym. You got to pay rent. You got to pay this. You got to pay that. Like none of that's getting covered by the government. You know what I mean? Like so that you got to shut that down. It's just the And there's thousands of people in New Zealand like that. Like with their businesses on like the brink of destruction, and everyone just being like, nah, don't worry. And it's because there's like no like clear answer to it. Like they haven't even told us like when the end date's gonna be. It's just like a big mystery.
So obviously, you guys have already talked about this too, about moving the team here to the United States. I imagine if that's the case, you'd probably want to stay on the West Coast, kind of close to the UFC PI, maybe a climate that's kind of similar in like California. I'm just throwing things out here. I don't see you guys going towards the East Coast or maybe even the Midwest too, just between time zones and flight situations for family and friends back at home.
Yeah, oh man, I'm not a decision maker when it comes to that. Like
who's the
Eugene
decision maker?
Eugene and the coaches at the gym, like those are the guys that'll they're the ones that'll pull the trigger. You know, I know Israel's got a big fight coming up, I think
January.
Yeah, I don't know whether we train at home or I don't know what's happening, but I've put my hand up to get out. I've put my hand up to move over to the States because it's in a position now where we have to. Like it's actually ridiculous what's going on.
So how long are you guys going to stay here in the States before going back home?
Yeah, I have a voucher, so I leave Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah.
I leave Wednesday. So we head back Wednesday, yeah.
Oh, it's been a crazy, what, 48, 72 hours for you guys? You just had the Raiders experience. You guys seem somewhat sober. We're trying to
get
this.
How many shoeies have you done?
We're still celebrating.
Yeah,
what
are you, yeah, I saw your post. I'm like,
we're still celebrating.
I feel.
I think you should three.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah, hey. Let's fucking do this.
Winner's piss.
All right, winner's piss right here.
Here we go. Cheers. Oh, I missed you.
I'm missing you.
I missed you last time, too.
It was honestly your fight with Ortega, without a doubt, fight of the year. Yeah. Whatever I have to do to say that. Incredible. And anyone who just questions the merit of your championship caliber, like what you escaped in round three, and then obviously this guy, his chin, he wouldn't go away. I saw your comments, and you know, obviously we were right there ringside when he got the extra time. Doctors came in. Herb Dean was talking to him. I don't know if that was allowed to for that excess time, but didn't faze you. You got the freaking job done. You celebrated, and I think just if you weren't respected before, which blows my mind too, where you stand right now in the history of the sport in the featherweight division, I think you're making your mark and you're continuing to do it. I texted you that too. I DM'd you like that.
Yeah. If you start that fourth round in a minute, if you only give him a minute and you go start, that fight's over.
It's over.
You give him like that extra minute. You could see him in like the last 10 seconds of that like click back to it. Because I've been there before, like you get like rocked real bad. You don't quite know what it is, but it can happen like pretty instantaneously where you're just like everything's going cuckoo, and then you get like click, like, oh, yep, back to normal. And you could see it in like the last 10 seconds before they restarted the fight. You could kind of see Ortega like, but like come back.
So you got the whole minute, yeah. And again, as he said, it would have been over. At the end of the day, I'm sort of glad because we end up having a couple of extra rounds, and you know, obviously entertainment. Everyone loved it. All right, all good. But would I have got the same treatment? I want to know that, because it was a picking him up off the floor. Not allowed. That's a TKO in itself. Your corner's not allowed to get you to your stool. I'm pretty sure that is an actual rule. You are not allowed to, you know, get him off the floor if he does it. Like, you know, I don't know exactly how it works, but so you already had that, and then, you know, the doctors, you could see the doctor wanted to stop it. Herb wanted the fight to keep going. And they just gave him, like, I was there watching. I was zoned in, listening to exactly what was said. And, you know, he was literally, oh, look here, go there. And he's like,
We could see that, you know what I mean? Too.
And we were sitting right behind him, so we could see you looking in. We could see that. And yep.
He was, like, looking the wrong way, stumbling. You know, at one stage I was overthinking that. I think he wants out. He's just doesn't want to say, you know, I'm done, or he really was that hurt. So I'm like, after that, I'm like, that's it anyway. He's done. Like, how's he going to come back from this? And then next minute he's pretty sharp and he's still back on his feet. And I'm like, all right, maybe I've got to be careful still. So, you know, credit to him. Obviously, where words were said, you know, I was telling him, you know, he doesn't have my respect. You know, I see weakness and all this sort of stuff. And how can you not really sort of respect him after at least getting through all that?
What did you notice power-wise from the difference level in those championship rounds, round four and five, where they could, like what Dan just mentioned, they could arguably have stopped the fight, you know, all that extra time. What did you notice, a significant difference in his level of striking, his just cohesiveness, his awareness in there? Did you notice anything?
Not really. To be honest, I feel like the last round, towards the end, well, like, I guess he just was pumped up and just wanted to do more, but you know, I felt like he was just as sharp as he was in the first round. You know what I mean? So it surprised me, because again, in between rounds, I'm like, he's done. So I'll go and put the pressure on, and then maybe I should have just done that a little bit more, and then really, really crumbled him. But he still looked on. So like again, I was like, all right, I think he's got a punch, just a puncher's chance, or that submission, right? And he didn't get them submissions, so now I'm thinking maybe it's just a puncher's chance. And so I was putting on there, but again, you've got to be calculated. I was trying to obviously still keep it entertaining, still be in his face, but still be calculated, because he was still dangerous. So, man, that's why you got to give him credit.
And I think also everyone's amazed by how you were able to escape all those chokes too.
Well, they were deep. I reckon the triangle was really deep, but because I survived the guillotine and that was that deep, and like literally it was like, oh no, like, you know, I'm just doing whatever I can to make that little bit of space so I can, you know, get a bit of blood back to the brain. And yeah, I had like a moment, as I've been talking about, where I was like thinking of the family and all that type of stuff, and I'm like, man, like, you can't let this be it. You can't let, you know, them take the belt away from your family. I remember thinking something like that. So a couple extra movements, made the littlest bit of space. I'm like, oh, I'm all right here. And then the chin come down and I got out. So after that, the triangle felt like nothing, even though I was in a very, very deep triangle. You had my leg, you had the right angle, I was laying on my side, and it doesn't get any deeper than that, especially with someone like Ortega, who's a finisher, and to get out of that, you know, obviously that's pretty impressive, but yeah, it just shows you that, like, you know, I've always talked about, you know, that the adversity and all that type of stuff, and, you know, I'm the type of guy that, you know, bring it on, you know what I mean, and hard work and all, you know what I mean, it's just... What sort of happened in that third round just shows you, like, the type of human being I am, and what I've always said as well. And I've always said that, you know, no one works harder than me in the gym, all that type of stuff, and put yourself through adversity, you know, life experiences, you know, you name it. I'm always, that's where I go with it. And that's sort of proof of what I've always said and believed in.
Without a doubt. And certainly with that mindset, you look at your division, November 13th, Yair Rodriguez, if that fight happens with Max Holloway, I know they've tried to book that before. That would likely mean that if you waited for that winner, that's another, what, maybe 5-6 months? You're someone who wants to be active. So you talked about different weight divisions at the post-fight press conference. Like, realistically, what is the best-case scenario for you?
Well, you know, obviously we need to talk to the team and see what we've got to do. Cejudo has been throwing his name. Well, he was on your show, was he? Was he on here?
He is. And this is
Ed Schmoe's mate.
We started a show.
That's it. I'm going.
Plug it in.
I'm out.
But let me just ask you this, because I'm sure this is what he wanted me to relay to you. With what he's done in his career.
No, as you can
hear. With being the only one in UFC history to have an Olympic gold medal, mm-hmm. and then to winning two divisions as a two-division champion, mm-hmm. Dana White's doubted him before, and Dana White has then said he doesn't doubt him for anything he does together.
So he told you to say this as well? Fuck, he sounds desperate.
Well, I'm just trying. But, where do you assess him realistically as an opponent?
Let's be real. I've obviously got respect for the guy. I'm not saying he can't fight, but at the same time, you know, like again, like, you know, we've got a stacked division and all that. But we are in. I'll be honest. We are in a spot right now where we're waiting for that number one contender with Yair and Max. So if there is a time for him to push, and I think that's why he's getting so desperate, because he's like, now's the fucking time. So again, I just don't think Dana's answering his calls or anything like that, so that's why he's maybe coming to you and doing whatever. Again, look, I respect the guy, and you know,
he's paid you off,
you know, he's what I mean? Yeah. How much he paying you? But in saying that, yeah, we'll talk, you know, you never know. But I mean, obviously there'll be some upset featherweights just letting him sort of slide in, because you know what, how many fights did he have in bantamweight? Do we know?
We had Dominic Cruz.
Marlon
Moraes.
And Marlon Moraes. Okay, so they were both title fights, were they?
Yeah. Marlon was for the vacant.
Marlon was for the title, and then he defended against Dominic Cruz.
So again, like, yeah, I've got respect for the guy. He can fight, but, you know, this is featherweight. This is, two divisions heavier than where he's at. And so and he talks about game planning and all this type of stuff and all that. It's like, yeah, all right, mate, you did good. But, you know, I've got power. I've got all that type of stuff. And then you ain't going to outwork me. You ain't going to out-strategize me. You know, we've got a great team behind us as well. Like, you know what I mean? And then I've got all these other tools. And, yeah, mate, I'll squash the germ. Where you at? There you are.
So is he a respectable opponent?
Yeah, man, look, okay. He is. We'll see. What do you reckon, Ash?
Yeah, why not?
Well, there you go. Well, while we're waiting, again, I do want to stay active.
I know.
But, I mean, that's why I was thinking, you know, without the, you know, you don't, even though I don't cut too much, do I just do, you know, you obviously got Connor sitting there saying stuff and all that, you know, do you move up and just have a little fight while we're waiting? You know what I mean? I'm undefeated at lightweight too.
It's a good time to be Alexander the Great Volkanovski.
Exactly right.
And you're also number 3 pound for pound now.
Yeah, we've seen
you
that.
Up.
Yeah,
it's interesting because
number
3.
Yeah.
Here you want to talk about the pound for pound things? Let's bring this up right now, because obviously we were at the UFC Hall of Fame Thursday night, hours before all the legal stuff went down with John Bones Jones. And throughout all this time, for years, he's been the number one pound for pound UFC fighter. And I know back in March, at the beginning of the pandemic, March of 2020, he had some sort of legal issue and everything. Nothing changed. But all of a sudden, now this upcoming week, he's no longer the number one pound for pound UFC fighter. It's now Kamaru Usman, who I would argue has been the number one pound for pound fighter, at least over the course of this pandemic. He's already proven that. Mm-hmm. What the hell took so long for that to change? Did it take this legal issue? It's not like he's been in the octagon. Last time John Jones fought was February 2020.
Yeah, exactly. He hasn't been fighting. He's constantly in trouble.
But it would have, like, just would have been the potential that he was going to come in at heavyweight, and it was like it was potential he was coming back. You throw this like roadblock, and like he's not coming back.
So
now.
He's not coming back now.
Oh. Do you what guys
think? Did still you good? See his mugshot today?
I saw his mugshot, but listen,
mate, like, how many fucking chances can you get? To be honest,
that's.
There's no coming back from putting your hands on a woman. There's no.
That's true.
There's
I agree. No back. Thank you.
More yes. information being, came out today.
Yeah, being a martial artist and putting your hands on a woman, there's That's no coming it. Back from that.
That's I mean, he should have been out a long time ago. You know what I mean? I feel like we've all the shit. How many chances do you get, and now you do this type of shit?
Well, but, in that case, why is he number two? Why isn't he just out of the pound for pound rankings?
I think rankings are stupid.
Yeah, who makes the rankings? So we're having this debate constantly.
We don't know.
I think it's cool. random wow. media members, I not have, us. But
I have my other theories and stuff like that. But I don't know what I don't know what it is. I don't know the answer to it. But we are media members, and we're sitting here asking questions. Who the hell is doing these rankings? Yeah, what does that tell you guys?
Supposedly it's media. They get someone from. Media, like from each media, I don't know how it works exactly.
Helen didn't make the cut. The schmo didn't make the cut. What? What's going on? What's
Come
going on,
on,
man? I don't
Start
know.
Start your own rankings.
Yeah, that's.
I'll jump.
Where
on
would you get idea?
Wait. Before we help you out with that, where would you put us first?
For rankings or pound for pound?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to be real. He's not there yet. I'm just going to be real. He's not cool. there yet. But what are you at? Did they put him at number three?
Yeah. I'd put him ahead of John Jones at this point because John's not active.
Get John Jones. John
and Izzy should be ahead too, you know what I'm saying.
So are you ahead of Izzy in the pound for pound ranking?
Yeah, Izzy's four.
Well, I'm going to be real with you then. I still put you at number three. I would just put Izzy at number two. I'm an honest man. I know I'm looking at you in the eye and you
can
beat the fucking shit out of me, but I'm telling you right now, I'd put your teammate Izzy on
top. I respect that you're honest, but be careful what you fucking say. No, all good.
It's two shot vault. It's two shot vault.
Remember,
careful.
I ain't playing no games no more, right? No, I'm joking. So okay. What were you going to say? Where are we going with that?
With what? The rankings?
I don't know. Yeah, you said you were about to just throw something out there saying you were honest.
Oh, I was just honest. I have no idea who the hell is doing these rankings. Oh, okay. And it's just like why is it coming out now at this situation, and if it's really he's done, why even put him at two? Just take him out of the rankings.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just pointing that out.
Well, 100%. If we can agree on something 100%, is get him out of the fucking rankings. Because right. He's not active, and he's doing this type of shit, and I can't see him fighting anytime soon. He shouldn't. You know, I think, like Dan said, he should be done.
Okay.
You know?
Should be done.
Surely a lot of people fucking agree with that, right? But
yeah, well, shouldn't someone try to help him, though?
He's had fucking plenty of chances, you know.
I'm saying like the people who surround him.
I'm not his mom. I can't tell him what to do.
It's like he's got a private jet. You know, he's got it all paid for, but he's the pilot of the jet. Someone needs to be in his life to sit him down. Hey, man, just sit in first class. Just go on autopilot for a second. Steer this stuff away. Focus on fighting. Focus on your family. Just no boost. He's getting there, and it's a Hall of Fame ceremony. He's getting inducted.
People are going to keep bringing up. People bring up, oh, you're drunk, you know, like, and all that type of stuff. It's like, mate, if you're doing this type of fucking shit every time you put a drink in your fucking mouth, don't drink. Plain and simple.
I mean, we're already about three shots deep.
While you take the alcohol
out. We still do it.
He sees me swearing at me. He goes, I need him to have more fucking alcohol.
Three shot vault.
Yeah. We got to do a shoey too. I think that's next on the agenda too.
Fuck.
But well, back to you though. It's six and your situation, man. You're right back into the thick of things. You're tied with Tony Ferguson. I know you've called out Tony Ferguson too, but like if you look at things and look what you want, like do you think you're now in a position to not fight guys that are behind you, that are more in front of you? What do you want next? And I think you've proven a lot to the brass of the UFC. Like, you don't complain. You're a humble person. I'm just going to call it out, too. Let's talk about the honesty. The shit you have gone through continuously. And I brought up at the beginning of the show what happened in Abu Dhabi, and I'm bringing up, obviously, what happened this week with your situation. Don't you think that you're in the driver's seat for what you want next?
Yeah, I feel like that. I will fight anyone. 100%. That's... But like October 30, it just doesn't how. Like if anyone can explain to me how I fight October 30,
work.
I would. I would.
I don't like even know. Like, let's be real. Like you making this
would I
fight.
Would I fight him 100%?
For sure.
Why does it have to be October 30? And there's another good point. No one else is going to take the fight. I'm the only guy that's going to fight is Makhachev. You can point your fingers. Tony Ferguson going to take it. RDA's out injured. No one else is put there. I'm putting my hand up to fight him. But October 30 doesn't work for me. It's why should I? He asked me to jump. I'm not going to say how high. We can fight when on Israel's card. What's he fighting? January? That's in a couple of months. That works for me. I'll fight him then. I don't see why for one spot in the rankings I got to jump, not train, fly halfway around the world with no coaches. Like no one can come again. Move countries.
For what?
I get it. What's up, everybody? Just want to interject to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by NordVPN.com. VPN. You ask, what the hell is a VPN? Well, I'll tell you what a VPN is. I had no idea until a couple of years ago, until we're traveling internationally for all these UFC events, whether we're in Australia or in Abu Dhabi, cannot upload content safely without a VPN. Right, Helen?
Yeah, like you just said, uploading content, and especially for what we do in our jobs, man, it came in clutch.
Yeah, because in certain regions of the world, like certain shows, you can't access. They're blocked or whatever. So you can go on a VPN and you can switch your location and you could find like different streaming platforms for cheaper prices in different countries and use that as your location. It is a complete game changer. So I highly recommend you go to nordvpn.com/schmo and use the promo code schmo and sign up today. I'm telling you this right now. It is perfect because you use this promo code, you get a 73% off, a 2-year plan, plus 4 bonus months for free just by using the promo code SCHMO. So sign up now. You're literally paying the price of what you would pay for like a premium cup of coffee to get the security on this worldwide web we live in and also having this opportunity to get all the entertaining content that you want. Therefore, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, and to get a peace of mind. Definitely. Or essentially, like you said, a cup of coffee. It doesn't get better than that.
Cybersecurity.
You called out Benil as well, right?
Well, he's just the highest ranked guy.
Yeah, number three.
Without a fight, right?
And I had interviewed him literally the night that you arrived here on that Thursday, or maybe it was Wednesday. I don't even remember. I interviewed him last week. He's like, he wants to fight in December, and he's someone who's willing to take fights. He'd fight anybody. I know he would take that fight.
Oh, I'd fight him in December. Yeah, 100%. So I've got like... Yeah, I definitely have options there. It's like bend it, break your back to get turned around in 4 or 5 weeks, not without training, or fight in December or January. There's I feel like there are big things on the horizon.
Huge, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And didn't we run into Tony at Sushi?
Yeah, we ran into Tony Ferguson after the Hall of Fame. What was that story? It was all by chance.
I'm sure there's a story there.
Yeah.
So we went to this one sushi place. We walk inside, and David's like, looking at the fish, like, I don't like this quality. So then we walk out, and then he's like, let's go to our favorite sushi place. So then we go. It's the one down Rainbow.
It's the one that's not far from the PI and where that holiday.
That everyone goes to. Yeah.
It's the BF.
You told us about it.
I told you about that. It's our go-to. It's our go-to spot.
Shout out. How good is that?
So we walked in, and you comment on these shoes. Okay, I'm a man of my word. You brought up the shoes. Yeah. I don't do this for everybody. Tony's the only one I did this for because in the Houston fight, he commented about the shoes when he was fighting Benil. I'm like, all right, I'll get you a pair. Because for me, there's this artist who designed these.
Well, it's out there now.
He designed these schmo shoes. And it would only work, too, if that person's got a colorful personality. I could create some sort of fun design for him to ink these shoes on a set of Vans. Shout out to Eddie Raff. He's a school teacher in North Carolina. So I gifted these shoes. I had these shoes made for Tony, and they were in my trunk randomly. So we walk into the sushi spot, the second one we were at. We run into him. I give him the pair of shoes. And, we didn't talk fights or any of that shit. We just, you know, it's Tony. He
random. He loves
random shit.
And – no, David's a man of his word. I'm a man of your shoes.
No, he lives in California. Yeah. He was just here for the fight week and stuff like that. Yeah. But for you, with your nickname and with what you've done, I've already had some ideas for how to design your shoes.
I appreciate it.
We'll make it happen. But when I present them to you, it'll be a random schmo in the pro interview. So you'll know about it.
All right.
But they will be done. I can't tell you when, but they will be done.
All right.
That's next.
Thank you. It's
next.
Sounds good.
We'll work something out. I know you're staring at me with those.
Nah, we're good. I don't need shoes.
He's like, where the fuck's my shoes?
I'm good.
What are we doing? We're doing another shot? What, it's there?
Oh, another shot. Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. It's also
his birthday.
What
are you doing?
It's Alex's birthday.
Listen.
It's my birthday in Australia, not in Vegas, but everyone back home?
33?
33.
He's
young.
He's young. Yeah,
you think,
but listen, I'm not quite there with you yet, but I will be there soon.
Yours is not even half full, but
he's cheating.
Look at this thing. This is
they're
one of
fucking stitching us up. They're getting me fucking. They're trying to get me pissed, and they're gonna get.
It's a stitcher.
Fucking oh.
Listen. Hey. I am trying to cheat anybody. Except this should be a White Sox shot glass, not a
This is the last one, but
Last one.
That looks fucking big though.
But I was
I'll be honest, his looks big.
His looks, but I was gonna say though too, I'm gonna be joining you sooner than later to the Shaved Head Club. Welcome to the club, man. You look good. You look good with
you
the
You like it? Yeah,
yeah, looks good.
You know.
Wait,
damn. Sorry, bro. It's my fault. Okay. Well, no, they filled it up, so I thought, well, instead of just looking at it, we may as well do it, right?
Fuck, I only come right.
Here are the dog. Here are the dog. Make you feel better anyway.
So how does, I wanted to ask you too, like, how does a NFL football game compare to a rugby game?
Mate, I'll be honest, the atmosphere in there, incredible. I love sports in America. Like how... Even just sold out like that, like, you know, sold out stadiums, the crowd getting into it. Obviously, I love stadiums back home, so shout out to Australia. But the sport here is just next level.
You know, they go, like, the intensity next and level. Commitment is just...
patriotic, like, tailgating.
Unreal. Like, they do the tailgating thing before and after. The Raiders win. We're walking in the car park, people in tears. Like the fans are just in tears, you know what I mean? I've never seen that at a rugby game. Like everyone just shakes hands and they go, "Good game, have a beer," like relaxed. People in tears, pulling their hair out, going like, "They won, Raider Nation, they won!" Like they bleed for their team. So comparing like that level of intensity was just
shout
crazy.
Out to the Raiders. I'm a Raiders
the
guy now.
NFL is the number one like sport here in America. Mm-hmm. That is the marketing machine. Like when I started the Schmo character, it was with the NFL, and the NBA before I. Found my natural home in combat sports, but they love the NFL football here. And Helen can attest to this though, because she's born and raised in Vegas. This city had no home sports team for years until a couple years ago when they got the Golden Knights. They got the hockey.
Now hockey, but back then the Wranglers. But they weren't an NHL team.
The fans would like travel.
The fans, but there are these loyal Raiders fans, just like there's loyal Cowboys fans, Steelers fans, Packers fans. I'm just naming these random teams. I'm a diehard Bears fan, which is an unfortunate situation.
Don't watch Sunday games with him.
I love fighting. And I love football. And it's the best of both worlds because they're all on Saturday. That's my Saturdays fighting. My Sundays are football. NFL football. I have to clarify
and
football.
You won in your league this weekend.
Yeah, fantasy.
Good
league.
Job.
The loyalty of fan bases here is absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. If you ever make it to like Buffalo, they have like tailgates, those tailgate parties where they light on fire benches and people like do old school wrestling moves, pile drivers, jump off tables. They call it the Bills Mafia and they jump in these tables and flaming shit and people get in so many drunken fist fights. I haven't been to one yet. I have a lot of people on the bucket list.
At the Raiders.
Not stadium. The Raiders. Oh, okay. But maybe actually the Bills play,
they'll
travel.
You've never been to where then?
Buffalo, New York.
Oh, okay.
Where they have the Buffalo Bills, the Bills Mafia.
Oh, so that, okay, that's specific.
Am I already slurring my words?
No, you're okay.
No, I'm good.
No, mate, we'll... It's
a bucket list.
It's confusing
thing.
Me because
it's
I've been celebrating the last few days. That's
pull them a shot. Give them
another
shot.
Oh, yeah, another one.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, go on, lad. Go on, lad.
Give Joe a shot.
We didn't just bring this here.
Yeah,
to just
but
stand
where's
there.
Your shot glass?
Yeah, but before you get too gone, too, I want to just.
No,
like,
we won't be too gone. That's it. That's me.
Did
done.
The did the extra time with the Ultimate Fighter, the additional looks, you know, really getting the intimacy of the whole situation, did that add an extra element of strategy for you in this game planning for this fight with him? Did that help in any sort of form?
Game planning, maybe not game planning and strategy and all that type of stuff, but we did see that we could get in his head. Like he obviously everyone's going to try and act, you know, like they're calm and they're all good and they don't, you know, they're sweet, but we could sort of see through that. And again, now we're you know, obviously words were said and you know some of the stuff I said I believe. Like I said, I think he can get a little sensitive with things that will happen on the show. That's why we wanted to take advantage of it, where we'll say things, get in his head. We knew that he would overthink it and things like that. So you know that we didn't probably didn't learn too much game plan wise, but you know strategy and getting his head and all that, which was good. I enjoyed that. Like I don't usually do it. You know I don't whatever. Like I'm just like whatever. But doing the I wouldn't say it was like crazy trash talk, but trying to get in his head and things like that. Fuck, I was loving it. I'm going to do it from now on. So that's what I meant. The featherweight division, watch out. I'm coming for all of you.
Was he a tougher...
Most apologetic heel you'll ever run into.
You'll say what I mean and you apologize.
I'll call you a cunt and say sorry about it. Sorry about that.
But what
sorry
I,
about
I
that.
Think.
Remember that word's all right in Australia, not
sorry
here.
Sorry about that.
Was he a tougher opponent than Max, in your opinion?
Tougher opponent?
Yeah.
Ian, they're just different, complete different styles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the threat of obviously going for the shot, that's why you didn't see me take, like, oh, you know, even, you know, game plan of the fight, you're never going to do double legs and all that type of stuff. A lot of times when I'm, you know, front punches, you're going to go into the clinch, but there had to be a way you approach the clinching, little things like that, because you've seen how quickly he can wrap up a submission. And that, you know what I mean? Like, who... What? How long did it take for him to get the deepest fucking guillotine you could ever see? A couple of drinks, I'm swearing fucking a lot now.
Is this like the new Volkanovski, the heel?
I just
the
swear
one
when I when I'm drinking, you know what I mean? But I don't know why. But anyway, but yeah, just the way he just wraps it up. So we knew that was a danger. We knew it was tough, but I thought that, you know, we could definitely wear on him and get his gas tank. Again, I was saying, you know his weakness. We see weakness. And again, I still seen some of that where I felt like, you know, again, well, Dan was saying that, you know, he thought that, you know, he was just out of it the whole time. But I felt like he was like, I think I'm done, but I'm never going to call it quits. But if the, you know, if the ref calls it off, all right, sweet. That's where I sort of felt like it was. But if not, even if he was really hurt or he was thinking like that, the fight's done, right? It's either he is that fucked or he's looking for a way out. And then for him to still come back in the fourth and the fifth and still look like reasonably dangerous. Still,
I reckon they need like an easier way for people to make it known that they don't want to fight.
Yeah. Well,
and there's like 20,000 people in the crowd. You go to his face and go, you have to shake your head if you don't want to fight.
Come on, man. Like, let's, you know what I mean? Now that I had a couple of drinks, I'm going to be calling people out. Now, the commentary, I'm coming for you as well. Like, look, again. You know, I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to get too, but I mean, like, it seems like there was a few people against me going into that fight, especially when you listen to the commentary, and I think there was a very, you know, there was a bias. You know what I mean? I'll be landing like free punch combos more. He would barely touch me with anything. And what are you doing back there? What's happening? That's all right.
Which one? Say his name.
You should have let me fucking drink.
Say his name.
But yeah,
which one?
I want to get to your fight. See, I get along with everyone, but I'll be honest. Like, I'm already sitting on the fence. Fuck it.
Joe Rogan misses a domestic pay per view. Joe Rogan's usually good.
Mate, you see the steak he was eating too? I like it. I like my steak. Yeah, we'll change the
subject. You know what?
You guys still need a cook.
We still need to do the cook off.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Yeah, 100%.
I can cook too.
We'll leave the biased commentary.
Dan will be the judge.
Taste test?
Yeah. You'll be the judge.
We will 100% do a cook-off, and you'll be the taste tester.
That's sold.
Done.
That's sold. But do we need, two more people, though? Because there might be some, team bias here. Joe's in.
I
mean, Frank?
As long as it's me.
Well, the only problem, it's going to be great. But is there some sort of bias here, though? Blindfold them. Blindfold them.
You're right.
We get the same. Here's
fair.
What we got to do.
That's fair.
We both get the same ingredients, the same thing to cook on. We get the same plethora of ingredients to choose from, same thing to cook on, same amount of time. This is like a Food Network type show.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Schmo versus Volk. We're going to make this happen.
So we need a time limit as well?
Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
I'm
going
to take you. In this, I'm
he's great
this.
At it.
I can take it. This and maybe basketball, but everything else, I'll give you that. Maybe ping pong too. We should do ping pong.
He's
as well.
Good at ping pong.
I'm pretty good at ping pong.
We can do that. We can do
I
that.
I got a good.
Dan, do you
got
play
a good
ping
backhand?
Pong?
You got the spin.
Connect four. If you play connect.
Oh, he plays connect four too.
All right, but we won't call anyone from the commentary because I like everybody in the commentary and I still want to interview everybody in the commentary as time moves forward.
Well, Marvin Vettori called out Paul Felder.
I'm always going to be. You know, I'm going to call him out again. They're watching it live, cage side. You know what I mean? So you know, the crowd's cheering. Yeah, you know, I was getting boos and whatnot. The crowd every time. Or take it
because
through
you come from the land of unknown.
Yeah, exactly. So look, you know, again, I'll sit on the fence with it, but I just believe that it was, you know, I was thinking there was a lot of strikes I'd land, and then they wouldn't say a word, and then he would barely even land anything, and they're like, "Whoa, good jab from." I was like, "Where was the jab that Ortega threw?" Like, you know what I mean? But anyway, let's change the subject.
We're gonna change it to his fight because you did whatever means is necessary to win the fight, You're a physically big guy for 155. Like, you could fight at 170.
Allegedly.
Wait, how much?
No, what do you mean? Everyone's saying that. I just made weight
I just got off a plane and made weight with
You're a pro's pro.
Hours.
I respect
that. You're a pro's
that.
Pro. Yeah. Pro's pro.
That's because you're an animal.
But what I'm saying is your nickname is the Hangman, and you have that for a reason. So when you get a hold of someone, especially at the 155 division, like you stay on top of them. And I'm commenting to Helen too because we're scoring, we're watching the fights live and stuff like that. What really changed the outcome of the fight is when you got a hold of Nasrat and you can control Nasrat. I mean, obviously you could go toe-to-toe with him, striking with him, but to clearly make the decision your favor in the eyes of the judges, like, you were superior in this region.
Yeah,
and
sure.
He did have two
for
legends
sure.
in his corner,
like,
and Firas and GSP as well.
I feel like,
as you always
yeah,
have legends in your core as well.
I would love to get in a war, but you got to make me. You know what I mean? Like, if I've got a clear advantage, I'm going to just lean on that advantage. If you want me to force me to strike, you want to throw down, you want to bash my shins up, bash my hands up, get my face sore, like, you got to make me. You know what I mean? And he couldn't.
In saying that, you were pressuring, though. You were constantly on him.
That's what he says after. He says, oh, I thought we were going to throw down.
You were on him the
bombs.
Whole time,
says,
and then
you
were like, yeah. That's
I said, you're on your bike for 10 minutes, and now you're gonna tell me you're going to throw down. I was like, bud. Yeah. I could see that's what he was, like, waiting on. He was just waiting on, like, he wanted me to get, like, a little bit over-aggressive and do something silly, and he was going to try and run me on to something. So yeah, just like a change of tact. Why not just grab a hold of him? I said it to my corner. He says, "Wow, they were giving me this with the striking, that with the striking." I feel like I can just grab onto him. I feel like I'm a lot stronger.
It's good because a lot of people won't, like, obviously we do a lot of training. A lot of people would know, like, the well roundedness, like his wrestling, jiu-jitsu, all that, because everyone just sees him, you know, obviously busting heads. But it was good showing. I really enjoyed that one.
NordVPN.com/schmo and use the promo code schmo.
In the title fight, Charles
and Dustin.
Yeah,
I just
December.
Feel like Dustin. I feel like I've talked too much shit about Charles to, like, take any of it back, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
I, feel like I feel like I've dug me hole
Wait,
so deep.
You
that
were the one
no
that
good.
Nicknamed
Charlie
Olives.
That was you.
I don't think
and
I started
Dhabi.
It. I
you
must
know,
have.
You mainstreamed it in Abu Dhabi in the press conference.
I'm hearing everyone say that now.
Made it famous.
I was like,
to your credit,
no,
that's
I think
the first
it was
time
Dan.
We heard it
yeah.
was at the press conference, and it went mainstream from that. Charlie Olives.
And MMA Twitter loved it.
Yeah, he's like changed a bit. I just don't like, that's like my pet peeve. Like, guys, what he used to do, I wouldn't say that he does it. Well, he's been on like a pretty good run now, is when he like just attacks, tries to rip your neck off, tries to rip your arm off, and then he used to just quit. And he doesn't give you the opportunity to kick his ass for a little bit and, like, even the playing field. That's like my pet peeve. I feel like if you're gonna rip my arm off, at least let me punch you in the head 30 times.
Yeah, but you were shitting bricks though when he was fighting Chandler in that UFC fight card in Houston too. When Chandler, especially towards the end of that first round, he was having his way in. Didn't get the job done, and then he faced the adversity. Oliveira, you got to give him credit. In that second round, he weathered the storm. He got the job done. And he
I was so
champion.
Blind, I thought Chandler won in that fight. I was like at my mate's house. We're having a barbecue. Things got out of hand. I thought Chandler won. Someone was like, oh, you know, blah, 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 Charles Olives. And I was like, what? I thought Michael Chandler was the champ. I was confused. Someone had to straighten that up for me.
That's insane. I mean, it looked that way. And then to
oh,
to
it's
do
the
Bronx's
nature of the
credit,
game, man. It's just the way that like Chandler fights. He is honestly, he is... Like, he's wild. He's reckless with his own health, which is, like, a very dangerous thing. Like, he's willing to get knocked out. Like, that Gaethje fight is...
Yeah,
guy doesn't,
it's going to happen, isn't
the
it?
Guy
he's
doesn't
gonna do
care.
It right.
The guy actually doesn't care.
Yeah, I agree. I think
that
he
fight's
come,
not
come
going
crazy.
The distance.
See, the thing is, I'd say...
Nah,
I'm super... I'm saying that would be fight of the night. I would say that if Sean Strickland and Luke Rockhold weren't fighting on that same card. I just feel like that fight
gonna
is going to
be
absolutely insane at middleweight. Like... Yeah. Have you guys heard the shit that Sean Strickland says?
You know what? I end up going through it and seeing a couple of videos and doing that. He's a pretty crazy fella, man. Like, far out. Like,
he got the schmo interview
of
the year
so far. Right?
He's a straight shooter. This is going to be a fun fight. This is going to be a great fight. Like, I don't know what version of Luke we're going to see. I don't know if it's going to be the last fight of Luke Rockhold we're going to see. But those two are going to throw down. I'm envisioning yours fight of the year. Definitely fight of the night. I see that one being the fight of the night in that New York pay-per-view card.
Yeah, well, I know, because I remember, was an interview with you that Luke Rockhold was going in on it?
Who was that with? I seen someone. Luke Rockhold wasn't happy with Sean Strickland.
Was he stretching on the ground? Because that was your
mine was a small one. But he was going in. Yeah, he was going. They're both going at each other, and they both trained with each other too. So at one point, so it'll be entertaining.
Well, I'll make sure I'll be tuning into that one.
That'll be good. Do you envision though that you'd be defending your belt against Max Holloway over Yair Rodriguez though?
Look, man, you look at that fight, and if you know, a lot of people saying if it happens, no disrespect to Yair, but obviously he's he's missed a couple of fights. But you know, stylistically, you know, Max, because you know, Yair's good. Yair's really good. You give him room to move. He's legit. You know what I mean? He does really well. But I just think Max is just gonna really, really, you know, especially because he's, you know, Max is tough. He's gonna come forward and pour it on.
Aren't they doing an interim title fight for the bantamweights? Right.
Bantamweight title. Peter Yan. It was just announced he's fighting Corey Sandhagen.
Yeah.
Aljamain. You guys.
So So I knew about Aljamain pulling out.
Yeah.
But. So that's interim, do you say?
It's interim, yes. Yeah. You know, the other person I would say you can argue for that opportunity would be Rob Font. He's coming off of
Aldo?
Garbrandt. He's fighting Aldo, yeah. Though, yeah. They linked
so what
him
happened
to that.
With TJ, because he's injured?
TJ's injured. He had some knee surgery. So the one available, the best-ranking person, Corey Sandhagen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Corey's my guy. That's a good fight.
I think so, too. Yeah. You know, I think he's learned a lot from the Aldo fight, too. I would hope so. I would certainly hope so. I think
both great fighters. Peter Yan, I've done a lot of training with Peter.
I know
Yan.
You have.
When he's on, he's on. He's good, mate. Like, you know, I've seen him towel up a lot of guys at Tiger Muay Thai. And like, he's good. He's the type of guy that he just does not give a fuck. So if anyone tries to put it on him, he go you would have seen him mate, he's a little savage, mate. Yeah. I love him. Love watching him fight too. But Sandhagen, I actually know him pretty well as well. Such a nice guy and a great fighter too. So that's going to be a cracker fight.
Stylistically. And then the last fight question we're going to ask you before we wrap this whole thing up, we got to go back to the teammate, Izzy, the champion of middleweight. Obviously, Robert Whittaker's next, but the number one contender fight, I think it was just announced
Jared
too. Cannonier, it's going to be Cannonier, Derek Brunson. How do you see that playing out? Because I know Izzy's once told me that he envisions himself fighting Cannonier. Is this the opportunity for Cannonier? Do you think he beats Brunson?
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he's such a big guy. He's pretty difficult to take down. Like, I don't think Derek will be able to just run right through him and press him against the cage and take him down. Like, he can to a lot of other people. I feel like he's takes a lot of risks. And kind of like falls into his shots a little bit too much, and that's like a really difficult.
That's Brunson.
Yeah.
So like I feel like he could be getting caught in that.
Like one. A big guy that's just going to stand there, plant his feet, and shoot something out straight.
Might run him straight.
Yeah,
straight
I feel like that's going to be a hard fight.
Cannonier fought at heavyweight. I know you used to weigh 214 pounds, but Cannonier fought.
I see.
And
yeah,
just dropped down to middleweight gradually through his career, so he's been there with the big
three
boys.
Division, yeah, man.
Yeah, like he's got that power. You can see it. You can see when he hit. You can see when he hits guys, like they try to pressure come forward, like they get hit with like a small shot, and you just see them like think about their life decisions, think about like, do I really want to fight? Do I really want to be here? Like you can see it on their face. So he's he's definitely like a power puncher.
Well, there you go. That's it. Yeah. Well, we're going with that fight. Yeah, I'll probably see Kenan.
I reckon
probably.
Izzy wins it.
Yeah. We're always gonna go with our boy.
Hey, we were there. That was probably
amazing.
The most epic event we ever traveled to. That was when you beat L.I. Quinta. That's when Izzy beat Whittaker. He got the belt.
The fans.
He went from interim to the champion, the undisputed and everything like that.
Was that the first three-peat you guys did?
It was me. Yeah.
Brad. And that was Brad's. Was that the debut for the UFC?
Brad Riddell and Jamie Malarkey on that one, wasn't it? Yeah. Fuck, that was
Malarkey's fighting this week. Yeah. That's why I asked you guys when you guys were leaving too, because I figured you stay. You know, you become teammates with the former foes, right?
Well, yeah. Who knows, man? Because the flights have been getting cancelled back home. So we got, man. So we were meant to leave on Sunday, but our flight got cancelled. That's why it's Wednesday. But I mean, that could change. So if we are here for that, that'd be great. But
if my missus wasn't back home, I wouldn't go.
Yeah,
I tell you that you much the right fan. Now. Yeah. Like 2 weeks, 2 weeks in quarantine, back too in the much, lockdown. Right. The missus was over here, I wouldn't be going back.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Final thoughts in the Schmo Zone. We're very happy to have you guys
together.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
Good little setup. Thanks for stitching us up with a fucking alcohol, too.
Of course. We do Korean barbecue after this, too, but apparently you got some big...
Birthday party?
You're two-timing us from this dinner celebration tonight, huh?
Yeah, I think we're high-rolling tonight
cook
as
off.
Well. We got a good spot. What's the spot?
Partage.
What is it?
It's a
partage? What is it?
Partage.
On Spring Mountain?
She's.
I believe so. Yeah, I've been wanting us to go there for a long time. Yeah, I've heard amazing reviews. He hasn't taken me there yet.
Come on, Shmo. Right. Step up to the plate.
He's lowballing you.
He took me to the bar low.
That's what I do. Hey.
Happy fucking birthday.
Yeah, thank happy you. Birthday.
Final thoughts. Been, yeah, again, I mean, this is the winner's circle right here.
Hey, winner's piss, mate. You won't see us be doing shots any other time unless we won or it was my birthday. But yeah, so anyone that wants to do a podcast with me, I ain't fucking drinking. Maybe.
One and only. You're lucky. Appreciate See?
You. Thank Appreciate you. Both of you too.
We'll do it.
What an honor. What
Thank
an honor.
You guys.
We'll love it. Episode 78.
Yes.
I'm saying this right. Of the Schmozone podcast. We are out.